The opinions of the Mixed Babble podcast is the opinions of the hosts and the guests alone. We are not medical professionals. If you need medical advice, please speak with your doctor or a medical professional for guidance and treatment. Listener's discretion is advised. Explicit language and topics may be covered and used. Thank you. Hi guys, welcome to Mixed Babble. My name is Joni Brown. I am in the middle of the end of the world. What are you guys up to? Everything from the day-to-day bullshit, positive quotes that inspire me, books that I'm currently into, music that I'm obsessed with, or just whatever comes to mind. Let's get into it. Hey guys, welcome to Mixed Babble. I am your host, Joni Brown. And today I have a special guest. Unfortunately, and fortunately, I suppose, I do not have my husband, otherwise he will sound very feminine today. So I have a guest in the house, a very special guest, a dear friend of mine. Her name is Brittany Brown. Brittany, welcome.
What is up? Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being on the podcast. I think it was a long time coming.
Yes, most definitely.
So how has quarantine been treating you?
It's been good and bad. I've had a lot of free time to kind of get creative and catch up on my to-do list, but I'm kind of missing being around people, surprisingly.
Are you actually getting things done?
Yeah, more bottom to-do list items. I haven't really tackled the important stuff yet, but you know, we're getting there.
Yeah, progress is progress.
Yeah, baby steps.
I have a whole hallway full of clothes that I pulled out yesterday, and halfway through I was like, I am tired.
Yeah. So, it's exhausting being productive.
It is. I was like, you know, I created a keep pile, which is very difficult because, you know, you want to keep everything. You're like, you know, maybe one day I'll have to go to a 2-year-old's, you know, the birthday party dressed as a dinosaur. I don't want to throw this out.
Right. I am a clothes hoarder. Like, I have clothes from high school still that I just can't part ways with.
Oh my God. Yes. I'm like, you know, these bell bottoms are going to come back.
Right. And they did though. I'm wishing they I would have kept some of my stuff.
I see that they're starting to integrate their way back. And I'm like, oh hell no, right. I'm not doing it. So other than that, I, as you know, I've been dealing with Nate and everything. He's still MIA. I didn't really talk about him too much in the last podcast. I was just kind of like, you know, he's not here.
He's alive though. Right now.
Yeah, he's alive. I continue to feed and water him.
Oh,
so he is for. But yeah, you've been busy. I see you've been doing a lot of modeling gigs, Miss Yes. Savage Fenty.
Yes, ma'am. That's pretty much been what's keeping my sanity lately is being able to get out and do those shoots because I'm really too afraid to do anything else. So most of the shoots have been outdoors, so it hasn't been anything too scary. But this heat has made it pretty tough on a girl.
I can imagine. I think I saw the heat index this morning was like, I want to say they said 110. And I was like, did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, they sent out a heat advisory a couple of times I saw this morning.
Yeah. Okay. So well, scary. I mean, working hard, getting some sun. I have not made it outside to do much vitamin D.
Yeah, you might have a heat stroke. I don't know if I'd recommend it right now. It's pretty tough out there.
But I am really happy to have you on the podcast.
I am excited for this. It, like you said, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, it has. And I think today's topic is obviously something that we've both had to deal with. It's, you know, a firsthand account on what, you know, living in America has been like. You actually, you know, born and raised in America. Me, not so much, but I still have, you know, my experiences. Now, to give the listeners some background as to you, and obviously I'll let you speak for yourself at some point. You are mixed race. Your mother is white and your father is black. And coupled with all that, your father is also, or was, I think he's retired if I am correct, law enforcement. So you have, you know, threefold on everything that's going on right now. So I definitely wanted to have you on the podcast so that we could, you know, talk about those experiences and we can share some stories as to that and give some insight as to how that's been. So we can just, you know, get right into our conversation as it relates to that. Now, we've talked many a time. You know, we met through our, well, my husband and your future husband, and both of them are DJs, and we kind of, you know, fell into each other's lives that way, but the friendship kind of took its own course, but, you know, they did introduce us. So that was really, you know, cool to meet somebody that was very similar to me in the way that we kind of conduct ourselves and think. But when it comes to your, I hate to say identifying because you are what you are. So to identify is such a weird way to put it. But have you ever felt the need to have to choose between the two ethnicities?
Absolutely. Where I'm from a small rural town in Missouri. The population, I want to say, is under 5,000. Maybe my graduating class in high school was 169 people. So very small town. And at that time, it was 98%, and I fact checked that, Caucasian. And so pretty much all of my friends were white. So I felt like I, you know, needed to fit in with my white friends, and that, you know, anywhere from, you know, how I conducted myself to my appearance, even I was really into having the straight, sleek hair. Didn't want to wear my hair natural ever. I, you know, did never want to sound too black, as sad as that sounds. I just hate that whole phrase in general.
I know.
You know, if I were to say something that to them would sound, you know, too black, you know, I sometimes would get called, you know, you sound ghetto, or, and then if I, you know, didn't sound black, then they'd be like, you're mixed or you're black, but you sound like a white girl. So I, you know, I didn't really know how to act.
I don't want to cut you off, but I want to interject here just because I don't want to lose this point that I want to make. I always found that phrase is interesting, and it is offensive, but more interesting just for the fact that I do speak, the way I carry myself in my professional life, in, you know, work atmospheres, I do speak very, you know, as I've said in the past episodes, you know, I speak eloquently when I'm not, you know, telling somebody to go fuck themselves. So I really dislike that just for the fact that if I sound quote unquote intelligent or smart, why is that being said that I sound white?
Right.
So that is, does that mean that a black person or a person of color isn't, you know, they don't have the capabilities to sound intelligent or speak eloquently or any of those things? It has to be white. That automatically equates to white. And that has always bothered me. I used to do collections many years ago. And not to get off your, you know, story, because we will get back to that. But I just remember one day I was on the phone with, you know, I called someone about a bill, and the person that answered the phone, it wasn't the person I was calling for, but I heard them put the phone down when I asked for whomever. And they were like, you know, Bob, there's a white lady on the phone for you. And it was a black household. Wow. And I remember laughing, but I, at the same time, I'm like, that's actually very sad. That's sad. And that's not, you know, that's not the way it should be. And I always go back to the thing with Obama. He wasn't black enough for some black people, and he wasn't white enough for for the white people. So like, where do mixed race individuals fall? Look at Meghan Markle and what she's had to deal with. But we'll get to that. But yeah, I just wanted to say that, just because that always just was a trigger for me, because we should hope that that's not just a racial thing. If you're smart, you're smart, regardless of what your background is.
Exactly. Exactly. I agree. You know? And it's sad. And it's something that you, no matter where you live, because, you know, I'm, you know, thousands of miles away from where I grew up, and I still hear comments like that. So it's not just like small town, rural America thing, you know, it's everywhere. And it's sad. Like, we shouldn't have to pick sides, period.
Yes. And I've said before, the fact that people try to say that racism and all these things is just a figment, I'm like, where have you been?
Right. Like, you, this must have been living under a rock.
None of this is new.
No, you know? No. And it's not going away anytime soon, sadly.
Now, for you, did you ever identify more to one side than the other, being that your parents are of, you know, different races?
Honestly, no. Surprisingly, I kind of felt like my family didn't treat me differently per se, but I kind of felt like the black sheep of the family, because I was the, and still am, the only mixed person in my family. So I kind of just felt like I was my own entity. Like, I couldn't really relate fully to either of them. So that was definitely, hands down, my biggest struggle growing up, was just feeling like I was kind of alone in that sense, like my identity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How was it? Now, you'd be speaking for, you know, on behalf of your mom, but how was it for her raising a child that was not white?
You know, my parents never, I can't recall a time where they ever really brought up the issue of, you know, I'm mixed or I'm not, you know, fully what one of them were. I would say the only thing that my mom struggled with was doing my hair. She, that was torture for both of us and a learning experience. They didn't have all these hair products, you know, back then, and they didn't have right. the internet like now with YouTube videos and all of that. So it was kind of trial and error. And where we live, there, you know, weren't really any people that she could go to for advice. So we just winged it.
And I mean, I don't think, you know, based on the pictures I've seen and what you just said about not embracing your natural hair, I do see the shift in you where you are embracing your curls and your, you know, I don't want to say big hair, but your hair is, you got some big it's hair. Perfect. I used to have big hair before I started doing some things to it, but definitely not to your level.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, the hair thing, that's definitely something I think that came with age and maturity and just kind of learning who I was and feeling more comfortable with myself. And after I moved to Florida is actually when I transitioned to having natural hair. One, because
you're not going to be in Florida.
Yeah.
Trying to shit.
Exactly. Like I, my hand was forced a little bit on that. And I, you know, I didn't have my lifelong hairstylist here. So I was like, shit, what am I going to do? So I just let it grow out. And, you know, I was scared of it at first. Because I just, the stigmas that I, you know, heard and experienced growing up, anytime I wore my hair curly, weren't positive. So I felt like everyone was going to, you know, hate my hair and think I was ugly, and people gravitated towards it. And so it really kind of upped my self-confidence a lot. So I was like, I think I'm going to stick with this shit. And
I mean, I know you're known for other things because, you know, you're obviously a beautiful black woman, but I think your hair is kind of like your staple piece. That's the first thing that really, you know, that we see that stands out. It's beautiful. You can't ignore it. It really is. I mean, your sponsors and whatnot on social media, I mean, that's what they gravitate towards.
Oh, absolutely. My hair is the conversation starter for me. And I don't think that I would have some of the opportunities that I've had modeling wise if it weren't for me going natural with my hair. It's my trait that makes me a little bit more unique, I guess. So that's also helped me to accept it and, you know, being different from everybody.
Yeah. I mean, if we were all the same, that'd be extremely boring. I mean, I've touched on the fact that I was about to say multi-race, which I am. I haven't really, you know, done a deep dive as to what that entails. And we both did the 23andMe, and they do not sponsor the podcast. However, we both done the 23andMe, and how much fun that was figuring all that out. But as you know, I am, I think it's 37% Chinese, Asian. I think it's actually breaks down further from there, but Asian, 37% Asian, 36% sub-Saharan African, and then 25% European. So I also have a little bit of white in me as well. So that's been interesting from my perspective. Probably a little different than yours, because growing up in Jamaica, I never really paid attention to any of it. You know how they say kids don't see color or whatever it is that they claim, but I just never paid attention to it because my family is so diverse. Right. My mom's black and I guess white from my grandfather, because that's where that European comes from. My dad is Chinese with a dash of black as well, which is something that's always been interesting to me, because I think he's probably like 80% Asian and like 20% black, which it's just like that little sprinkle. But yeah, my brother, I have two brothers, and they look a lot darker than me. They look full black. My oldest brother, he actually almost looks more Hawaiian, kind of. There's a real name for it, so I apologize if Hawaiian is not the correct term. Like Samoan, is that what it is? I think it's like Samoan.
Yeah, Samoan or Polynesian.
Yes. He looks a lot more Asian than I do, but he's darker skinned than me. So that's always been.
I don't think I've ever seen pictures of your brothers, actually, now that I think about it.
Probably not. Not a lot of people know that I have, you know, other siblings. I'm one of five. I'm the middle child. I hate even saying that, because then they're like, oh, I can tell.
Well, I'm the baby, so.
Yes, I have two older brothers and two younger sisters. So, yeah. But yeah, so my brother, as I said, you know, we don't have the same biological mother. So he's darker skinned. My sisters, we are all from both my parents. So we are, we have more similarities, but you know, I have family that have married white, individuals. I have actually, my brother's married to a Caucasian woman. So like I said, we never really paid attention to that, because it literally is in our all throughout my family and within myself. My grandfather, I want to say he had like blonde hair, blue eyes.
Oh my goodness.
But I never, because that was just grandpa, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, it's very diverse, and I just never paid attention to it because my whole family is just a sprinkle of everything.
Now, let me ask you this. So when you were in Jamaica, were you one of few mixed people where you were, or was it predominantly black?
Okay, so the funny thing, I'm glad you asked that, because the thing about the Jamaican culture is, and now I'm going to be paraphrasing because I can't remember it exactly. Actually, I think I do remember it. The motto of the country is out of many, one people. And what that actually means is we have a diverse Jamaican background with a lot of different races and creeds. And so there is no, we're all Black. We're all that. We actually have Chinese people in Jamaica. My family still live there and they're Chinese.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't know that. Yeah. My dad looks Chinese, but has a Jamaican accent. And people always thought that was like the funniest thing ever.
Oh, wow. I bet that throws people off.
It does. So, the Jamaican culture is very diverse. We have Indian culture. That's where the curry and all that comes from. You know, I'm sure people know about like Jamaican curry goat and all that. That's where all that comes from, is all the different backgrounds we have, you know, in the country. And that's why the food is so damn good, because we pull that from every culture. We have the Chinese culture. We have the African culture. We, you know, we're Caribbean, you know, so yeah, that's where
awesome.
All that. Yeah.
I did not know that, honestly. I didn't know that Jamaica was so diverse.
It's very, very diverse. Wow. It's funny too, my grandmother, she loves Nate probably more than me. And she's so funny. I guess she thinks like every Black person that I talked to in America, like when I was in the dating pool, that they're Jamaican. Because the first thing she asked when she met Nate was, "Is he Jamaican?" I was like, "No, he's Black. He's African American."
Oh my goodness, that's so funny.
So, all right. So you did touch on, you know, your experiences growing up in your hometown. Now, you might be the only person that I know that is from, is it Minnesota?
Missouri.
So Missouri and Minnesota. I don't know anybody from there either.
No.
Missouri, like, because I know nothing about that area.
You're not missing out on much, hence why I'm living in Florida. Good barbecue, I hear. I'm not a fan of barbecue, but there's not much to do. It's very country there, in the majority of the state, I would say. We do have Kansas City and St. Louis, but other than that, it's pretty much farm town. Yeah.
As you're saying, I'm like, oh.
Yes.
What is it like? Because what brought your dad there? Or did he grow up there?
My dad was born in California. His dad was military. Okay. And so I believe he was a Marine. And I think that's how they ended up in St. Louis. That's where my dad's from. Originally. Okay. So he was born, or not born, but raised there. I don't even think he had hit a year old yet when he moved away from California.
Okay. All right. So yeah, that I was trying to wonder, because I was trying to wonder. I was wondering, not trying to. I was wondering, because I'm like, why would your dad go there knowing the climate there?
Yeah. And I mean, no one moves to Missouri because Missouri is great, or like a vacation spot or anything like that. They just, I feel like people in Missouri either end up there for reasons like my dad, or, you know, just generations on top of generations have lived there, and they just stay there. You know, nothing against people from Missouri, but
probably have land and things like that, you know, is in the family that they don't want to give up, I'm sure.
Yeah, which is exactly.
That's why a lot of people stay where they are. I mean, that's why my grandma in Jamaica, she will never leave, because she has farmland and she's like, this is mine.
Yeah, exactly. And farming is a big part of the economy in Missouri. So, you know, a lot of people own land, and, you know, their livelihood is based off of that. So they don't really have an option but to, you know, keep that going and stay there. And, you know, that has its positives and negatives too.
So what caused your family to pick up and move to Florida?
So that was all me. It was literally the day after I turned in my thesis, I packed up and moved down here to Florida. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a plan. I just knew that I wanted to get out of Missouri for a number of reasons. The weather.
Did you know in Florida?
No, not a single person.
Oh, you're crazy. Yeah. I have anxiety just hearing you say that. What?
I don't even know how I did it. I think I was just so over Missouri that I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to see what happens. And, you know, if I fail, my family told me they would accept me back. But I think it was meant to be. And so, you know, my parents came down. Right. my parents had came down to visit, and they ended up falling in love with Florida. And, you know, they came and visited a couple more times, and they were like, you know, we're going to live down here too. This is nice. And then a couple more family members followed. And, you know, hopefully more do. My brother still lives back up in Missouri, so hopefully he'll make his way down here eventually. But, you know, he has a really good job keeping him up there right now.
Well, that's typically how it happens. I always try to find out from people. I'm always interested in it. What brought you, you know, here to this particular area? Because I always ask that just because people ask that from us as well. Like, when you moved from Jamaica, why did you pick here? And it's always because you knew somebody. Because we had family living here, you know?
Right.
I'm like, did you just spin, you know, the globe and point and that's how you ended up here? Because it's always such a weird, like, why here? Why not, you know, like Miami or whatnot? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I ended up in the area that I'm in because my uncle is actually a travel agent. And he had traveled to this location several times and loved it. So he actually, it was your location. I just drove through mine and kind of settled here on the way. He said it was a beautiful place. And so I came down here in the spring when I had some time off of school with my parents and kind of explored the area and got some potential options for apartments and stuff like that. Saw a couple of places.
With no job?
Yeah. I didn't really think that far. I was arrogant at that point. I was like, I'm going to have my master's degree. I'm going to be unstoppable.
Universe will put everything in place. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll work itself out.
Bridges under.
Live and you learn, you know. But it did work out, and I'm so happy that, you know, I did take that chance and end up down here. And, you know, I think my parents are glad as well because now they're both retired and living their best life. They travel all around the state in their RV. They do have, you know, a house, but they like to go camping a lot and do a lot. Yeah. So
I'm going to need to keep that information to yourself, because if my husband ever hears any of that, because that is his lifelong dream.
Oh,
and I don't know if I'm about the camping life.
No,
I'm like, I don't pay to feel like I'm homeless.
Right. I agree. They have one of those huge RVs, like super fancy hardwood floors. There's like,
okay. All right, AC and the plug-in for my phone and we're good.
Yeah, they're more glamping. I wouldn't even call it camping.
I like glamping.
I think they have a full-size bed in there.
Nice. And we will be right back. Welcome back, guys. I have with me Brittany Brown, model, big hair extraordinaire.
I like that.
You're going to have to take off your handles and everything now.
Yes.
So we left off with you moving to Florida, and you know, let's from there. How many years have you lived here?
I have lived here, oh my, since 2013 now, so 7 years. Oh,
not that long. I didn't realize it was that recent. Okay. And funny enough, you then met your soon-to-be husband, so obviously the decisions were good ones.
Yes, and I met him pretty quick after moving down here. I want to say it was probably 6 months after or so.
Oh, wow. And that was fast.
Yeah, very fast. Way faster than I was anticipating or even looking to do. I was, you know, trying to move down here and live my best life and be selfish. Yeah,
and go to the club, and you trying to lock me down.
Right. And sadly, that's where I met him, was at a club. Yes.
Was he DJing?
No, he wasn't. He actually, okay. So it's a funny story. We met because of my hair.
Okay.
Yeah, he came up to me and complimented my hair. And then I had seen him. We were on a small island key, if you will. So there was like a strip of bars and clubs. And so he saw me again later in the night and offered to buy me a drink. And he wouldn't give up. He was very persistent, and he was celebrating his big move. He was moving to Colorado.
He was leaving.
Yeah, he was leaving, I want to say a week from that
day. Oh, wow.
And so he was out with his friends celebrating, and he was moving out there. He was going to like start over. He was born and raised in Florida and wanted to get out. He was going out there to grow marijuana, medical marijuana, for the industry. And so he was out celebrating. I typically didn't give out my phone number, but after he told me he was moving in a week, I was like, what's the worst that can happen? You know, I'm not, right. if I don't like him, I'm not going to ever see him again after next week. And, well, he moved and moved back.
I thought he was going to be like, you know what? I changed my mind for you, girl.
No, he did move, and we stayed in touch literally every single day. And I want to say he lived out there for 3 months, maybe four, and then made his way back here.
Now, as much as Ryan is fun, that's actually not the reason why I'm bringing him up. There is a reason why I'm even bringing him up, because Mr. Ryan is white.
Yes, he is a white boy.
So, how has that been, being in a relationship with a white man, especially, specifically, right now in the 2020 climate?
You know, being where I'm from and what I grew up around, I mostly dated white guys growing up, so it wasn't a big change or anything from what I was used to in that aspect, or I guess from what my family was used to. And I would say there may be, the experience may have been a little different if him and I were together back up north. But living here in Florida, we honestly haven't had any, you know, negative experiences because of our ethnicities or anything like that. When he was a kid, he grew up in Fort Myers, and he grew up in that neighborhood, you know, that you always see on Cops.
Okay.
He was the token white kid. So he was, you know, I guess we kind of had similar experiences growing up, surprisingly. He was really the minority in his neighborhood, and you know, I obviously was in mine, and so I think that also helped us connect a lot better, because we could relate on that level as well, and you know, understand each other a little bit better from that aspect. So that's challenging. That's a whole nother issue, you know, when you're not only mixed, but in an interracial relationship, you know, being able to relate to your partner because, you know, you guys are very different. So,
I do see him on social media. Obviously he's, he's been vocal and not been too thrilled about, you know, comments that people make towards the black and brown, ethnicities, which is great because, you know, one thing that I've, kind of held on to, Amanda Seales, I was listening to her podcast, a few months ago, and she mentioned that, you know, you have white people and then you have people that happen to be white. So it's not that, you know, oh, white people are this and white people are that. You have people like your Ryans, like your mother. Yes. And I mean, there's a number of people, but those are the examples that I'm using that just happen to be white. That was the skin that they were born in. And, you know, they still believe in equality and are against police brutality, which actually brings me to my next phase, because again, I mentioned in the very beginning of the podcast that your dad was in law enforcement.
Yes.
So you just have these, like, you know, levels that you continuously have to overcome.
Oh man. That.
So what's that like? Especially now hearing what people are saying about, you know, Blue Lives Matter and, you know, differentiating between black and blue and white and all that.
So, oh gosh, that him being a cop is probably the most interesting part, I guess, about my experience, because I hate to say this, but, you know, we're being honest here. Growing up where I was from, I had multiple people make the comment to me that my dad and I were one of the good ones. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And I always knew, you know, even at a young age, that it was, you know, they were saying that because, you know, how we spoke, and, you know, he was law enforcement, so they felt safe around him, and, you know, he didn't live up to their stereotype of what, you know, a black man is supposed to act like, and how he's supposed to treat people and all of that. So I guess him being a cop in that sense, I, for lack of a better word, was beneficial for me growing up because people respected me. I would like to say, you know, I wouldn't have gotten treated any differently if he would have had a different occupation, but I honestly don't know if that would be the case. But, so there was,
I feel like there is, it's good that you identify that, because there is a level of respect that typically comes with knowing someone in law enforcement.
Yeah.
I mean, we, you know, my husband and I, Nate and I, you know, there is some level for us because we have friends in law enforcement. My husband's line of work, you know, he deals with law enforcement all the time. And so, you know, when people see us, they know us, they recognize us. So even just by that small level of association, we get some level of respect. Right. So to be the child of one where people know his face, and I'm sure they've seen you with him at some point or another, I'm glad you recognize and identify that there are some privileges that come with that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you that when I got pulled over on multiple occasions, I was like, do you know who my dad is? But, you know, I can't use that down here anymore. Right. So I have to, you know, go to speed limit.
They probably don't help you much. They're going to be like, who?
Right. Like, we don't give a shit. but no, back to your original question. With today's climate, you know, around that, it's really frustrating because, you know, I feel like people don't understand that I understand that there's good and bad law enforcement. You know, I, yeah, I'm a cop's daughter, but that doesn't mean, you know, I love all cops. I know that there's just as many bad ones as there are good ones out there. So to say that all cops are good would just be an ignorant statement, but that, you know, doesn't mean that, you know, that some people are like, well, if you support cops, you don't support, the cause, and, you know, you're against us and everything. And what am I supposed to do? My dad was a cop. He was a good cop. You know, I honestly, you would be pressed to find a person who would say something negative about how my dad treated them, you know, whether it was arresting them, pulling them over, or just as a person. You know, there are good cops out there. So it's really hard for me when people kind of try to make that argument that it's either, they're either all good or they're all bad, because that's just unrealistic. Like,
there is always a gray in a black and white world.
Right.
And that's one of the main reasons why I wanted you to, you know, on the podcast, is because I'm like, of all the people that I know, yes, I plan to talk to Nate about what his experiences have been like in America. On my last episode, I actually mentioned the fact that, you know, I'm multi-raced. I did not, you know, I wasn't born and raised in America. I grew up here after the age of 7, but that's different. And I'm a female. So that's completely different than Nate's, you know, experiences growing up, born and raised in the South as a black man. And the reason why I wanted to speak to you is because you have three very interesting backgrounds, the white, the black, and the blue.
Yes. And on top of that, you know, I have family members who have been to prison for years. So I can, and I myself have worked in, you know, facilities and in a jail and worked with the inmates. And so I feel like I've seen a pretty good circle of it all. And that's what frustrates me the most about everything going on right now, is that people don't understand that, you know, you can have multiple opinions on things, or, you know, you can agree with some things and not with others. It doesn't have to be
exactly,
you know, the black and the white. Like you said, there are gray areas to everything. And, you know, it just, it feels like it's always picking teams, and that's just so elementary to me.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I wish everyone could just be adults and, for one, think for themselves.
Right.
And, you know, gather their own facts and not just believe everything they see or read, and come to their own conclusions that way, and speak to people that have been through it with firsthand account, you know? But yeah, that was one of the main reasons I wanted you on today. You mentioned just now, you know, working in the prison system, which I mentioned on my very first intro episode, that I was going to have you on to discuss that. But that would be something that we're going to tackle in a different episode, because I definitely want to dedicate some time to that, because that would be one hell of a topic to go over, because I can only imagine the shit that you've seen and heard.
Yes, that prepared me for life. Oh gosh, that is a whole nother conversation in itself.
Now, I know, as a little teaser, you said, I believe, if I remember correctly, that you were doing some type of therapy.
Yeah, so the place that I worked at was in a very large county. It was a very large jail, and it had both male and female inmates. Okay. And I did female group therapy and individual, and then I did individual therapy with the males as well.
Okay, all right. And you've come into contact with serial killers?
Oh, I've come into contact with everything, because, like I said, this is a, you know, I'm not going to drop exactly where it was. But,
exactly. I don't need locations, because obviously there are levels of confidentiality. So,
right. But we'll say, believe me when I say a lot of people pass through this particular facility, you know, on their way to serve their life sentences or while awaiting trial. So I had a wide variety of people that I was able to interact with while there, which it was actually pretty cool. You know, it was enjoyable. I will use that term. It was enjoyable working there.
Interesting. I would be scared.
You know, I never was. And I think that's what shocks a lot of people. And I don't know if it's because of, you know, my dad and, you know, I was used to visiting family members while they were incarcerated. So
you're like HIPAA.
Yeah. This is home.
That's crazy. So I actually look forward to, you know, discussing that because I find that interesting as hell. That's so crazy. Now, we didn't really do a full proper introduction, other than the fact that I was like, oh, she's mixed, let's talk. But if you want to mention what your actual degree is in, I think that would be helpful to give some context.
So I have my master's in clinical psychology, and the focus was on forensics at the time. And, you know, I've kind of worked away from the forensics aspect now, but, yeah, that was what the goal was. I wanted to be a prison psychologist.
We're learning so much in this conversation. Like, I'm like, girl, what? How did I not know this?
I'll bring it up too often because people are always like,
and I have a degree in forensics.
Well, when I bring it up, people automatically just want to be like, okay, I'm going to stop talking so you don't start analyzing me.
Shoot, I don't care.
If I analyzed myself, you all would probably be scared.
I think Ryan's already scared of you based on the conversations we've had.
Most definitely, as he should be.
So, all right, Brittany, it was great having you on the podcast today. If you would like to go ahead and give everyone your Instagram or your social media information so they can check you out and your projects in the future.
Yes. First, thank you for having me. This is fun. So I'm looking forward to doing it again in the future. But you guys can follow me on Instagram if you want. I talk a little bit about hair, a lot of modeling, a lot of just randomness. But my handle is Brit, BRITX, like the letter X, and then Brown, like the color. And I believe on Facebook, I don't even know what I am on Facebook. I think I have a modeling page, Brit Brown Model, on there. That you can follow as well, but I'm going to be honest, I don't really post on there much.
All right, so that was Brit, and the letter X is an X-ray Brown, and that's your handle on Instagram. All right, and I believe you also have a blog?
I have been bad about posting on it, but I'm going to get back to that hopefully soon. That's on my to-do list, but it is curlyandconfused.com.
All right. And you can follow my podcast at Mixed Babbel on Instagram, and that's Mixed Babbel. And my personal Instagram, you can follow that as well at blonde_blasian, BLASIAN. And I also have the blog at unicornbabbel.com. Thanks again, Brittany, for joining me, and we will definitely be doing this again.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.